أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين ولعن الله أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. We started our series with the title Conquering Kufa and Sham, and how the plan was well orchestrated by Lady Zainab Salamullah Alaiha and Imam Sajjad and the rest of the family of Ahl Bayt. The enemies had plotted something and the Ahl Bayt had a different plan. The plan which was based on the divine principles, the plan which they knew would be successful, would be brought to its destination, would be brought to its goal. And therefore we see a vital role that was played by Lady Zainab and Imam Sajjad and rest of the family who were taken as prisoners and captives. Even the young daughter of Imam Hussein played her major role in propagating the message and saving the message of Karbala. And in the consequence of that, which was revolutions after revolutions that were launched after the day Imam Hussein was killed due to the speeches that were made on the way. We mentioned that every day, inshallah, we'll try to cover one of the spiritual vice or a virtue, and today we will discuss this very briefly, the noble trait by the name sabr. And there are some misconceptions regarding this phenomenon of sabr, patience, which in the loose translation of sabr would be patience. But when you look at the phenomena in itself in great depth, you would see nothing but strength in sabr, and you would see a great manifestation of sabr in itself by the family of Prophet on the day of Ashura, before the day of Ashura, and especially after the day of Ashura. There is a hadith by Imam Sadiq. It says, "Inna al-hurra hurru ala jami' ahwalihi." The free man is free in all the circumstances. "Inna al-hurra hurru ala hurrun ala jami' ahwalihi." This is the concept of sabr. Unfortunately, has been misconstrued amongst many of us. Sabr has been taken as one of those traits when you are being oppressed or when you're faced with difficulties, you're not supposed to whine about it, you are not supposed to complain about it, you are supposed to accept the circumstances the way they come to you. You're supposed, if the oppression is being done, you're supposed to stay silent. If someone comes and slaps you on the face, you're supposed to turn the other cheek away, or you're supposed to put forward the other cheek, right? And these are something certain things that are derived from the fake teachings of Christ, not the real teachings of Prophet Isa, but rather what the establishments and the church had used in order to suppress people. And similarly, the concept of the misconception of church, or on the misconception of sabr, was propagated in Muslim world so that the masses could be ruled without causing any stir in the society. One thing that we know about sabr is you are supposed to, yes, one part of it is you're not supposed to complain about it, you're not supposed to whine about it. We have in Quran, it says, "La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha, laha ma kasabat wa alayha ma iktasabat." right? God does not burden any soul for more than what it can bear. Extending to its account is what it has earned, and against its account what it has merited. So we know from the divine words that Allah will not put us through something which is something which we cannot bear. So everything that we are facing is something, is according to the capacity that we have the capacity to endure that. However, we are not supposed, and once we have this belief engraved in us, we are not supposed to complain about it. We know that this is something that we can handle. I'll relate this point to what happened after Karbala, and we will question whether or not sabr was displayed. There's another hadith from Prophet. It says, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." It says the world is a farm of the hereafter. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah basically means that whatever you are cultivating in this world, you will see it in the hereafter. And once the person has this belief that they are not being asked to hold more than what they can handle, then it makes it easier only and only if we have certain belief. If sabr means that you're not supposed to complain about what befalls on you, then what was it that Lady Zainab was crying about? What was it that Imam Sajjad was crying about, and the rest of the Ahl Bayt was crying about? Shouldn't they have just be content with Allah's decree? Because they should have had this belief that we are only getting what we can endure, and if that's something that we can endure, there is no point of crying about it. There is no point of letting people know about this thing. And of course, when you are sharing your griefs with others, right, especially with random people, you will see that your value goes down. One of the hadith of Prophet of Imam Ali, it says that don't be sharing your hardships with others, because that leads to others losing respect for you. So what was it that Lady Zainab and Imam Sajjad were doing in the streets of Kufa? As we mentioned yesterday, that Imam Sajjad, Lady Zainab, gave very powerful sermons in which she made people realize how what they had done and what had happened with them. And even today we are going to talk about some of the sermons from Imam Sajjad, and what did it mean. Once again, sabr, the misconception is just to stay calm in the face of calamities. But the definition from the events that took place after Karbala, the sermons that were delivered by Lady Zainab, the sermons that were delivered by Imam Sajjad, one can easily say that, I mean, were they crying about it? Were they upset about it? The words are really powerful that they have used. So when we look at the sermon of Imam Sajjad, and yesterday we mentioned that Lady Zainab, while walking in the streets of Kufa, she addressed to the Kufians and called them out and said that, you know, you people were the one who called us over here. You people were the one who deceived us afterwards. So she was the one who kept reminding people of the events that had happened, right? When you look at that, you would see that, okay, well, she is making people realize. At the same time, when you see her cursing at them and her reminding them that, you know, who they have killed, what kind of wrong that they had done, this is again complaint. Like, it looks like complaint. But if we understand the true meaning of sabr, we will know that what she was doing at that time was the best possible way to express patience. Patience does not mean that you stay calm and you stay quiet and you don't say a word when the oppression is being done, when something bad is happening with you, but rather you channelize every situation that is out there, every difficulty that you are faced with, every hurdle that is thrown on your way, you counter, you maneuver that while facing all the difficulties, while facing all the challenges, in order to get to your destination, in order to get to your goal. Ladies and when we understand this definition of sabr, that sabr does not mean that you stay stagnant, but rather sabr means with all the difficulties that you are faced with, all the difficulties that you are, all the calamities that you are afflicted with, all the tribulations that you are encountering, you are going to keep moving forward in order to get to your destination. This is the example of sabr. This is sabr which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran is talking about, in Allahumma asabireen. This is a sabr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that wabashir asabireen alladhina idha asabathum musibatun qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is sabireen. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. These are the people who, the patient ones. Patient ones. From time and time again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran has mentioned that if you do sabr and if you observe taqwa, you will gain the benefits. You see that in Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Bala in antasbiru wa tattaqu wa ja'atka wa ja'uka min fawrihim hadha yamdudkum min rabbikum. That if you do sabr and if you observe taqwa, you will get the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see that you, when you're doing sabr, you're getting help, which means that you keep walking in the way, you keep walking towards your destination. To give an example, while you are trying to climb the cliff, while you're trying to climb a mountain, you are faced with all kinds of difficulties. You will be faced with severe weather. You will be faced with. You will be faced with. Maybe you will run into predators. Maybe you will run into even some people who want to hurt you. But you keep moving forward. You do not stop your journey. This is what you call sabr. And sure enough, this was the sabr that was displayed. When Imam Sajjad was making sermons, was delivering sermons in the street of Kufa, in this courtyard of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, in the courtyard of Yazid, it was not to display the pity card. It was not to let people know that, you know, feel bad for us, but rather shake them up, shake their souls to a point that they would want to get out and fight for the right, or either be disgraced for the rest of their lives. When we look at the Lady Zainab's, we kind of briefed with Lady Zainab's sermon yesterday in the street of Kufa. Look, at that time, Lady Zainab stopped, and after that, there was a silence. But because the goal was much higher than to just win people's sympathy, it did not end over there. The next person to come out and deliver a very eloquent sermon was Imam Hussein's daughter, Fatima. And the eloquence that was used, the points that were mentioned, again, worth understanding, and how this was the display, the best display of sabr, while facing the toughest circumstances. La yawma ka yawmik ya Abu Abdullah. There is no day like yours, ya Abu Abdullah. They had witnessed one of the toughest days, or the toughest day in the history of mankind. And doing sabr at that time meant to make sure the message of Islam, the message of Imam Hussein, stays alive. So when Lady Zainab stopped, Lady Fatima started delivering the sermon to the Kufians. She started off with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the wordings she says after witnessing what she had witnessed. She's the daughter of Imam Hussein. She had witnessed her father getting massacred, getting slaughtered on the plains of Karbala. She starts off by saying, I praise for Allah as many times as there are grains of sand, and as weighty as the weight of all that extends from earth to sky. I praise Him, and I believe in Him, and I trust Him, and I give witness that there is none worthy of worship except Him. And then, praising Prophet along the same lines, giving the testimony that she bears witness that Prophet Muhammad is his last messenger and his servant, and at the same time continuing it with what had transpired on 10th of Muharram, and that his progeny were slaughtered at the banks of the Euphrates, though they were neither vindictive nor did they claim or demand any land. So if you were to think that it was a fight between the two kings, or the two princes, if it was a fight over government for the sake of having the government, for the sake of having power, for an individual, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. It wasn't for that. She goes on, by saying that, "Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from the sin of saying any untruth about you, oh Allah, and anything other than what you have said regarding the leadership of Ali ibn Abi Talib that was killed without any fault in the same manner as his son was martyred yesterday." Bringing, look at if it was just merely venting and ranting over what had transpired, it would have, the points that are being mentioned in the sermon, Ali ibn Abi Talib, what was so important to bring the name of Amirul Mumineen? It was important because Amirul Mumineen, there was a major propagation that was being done by Muawiyah. Amirul Mumineen got martyred in the year 40th Hijrah. This is 61st Hijrah. 21 years have already passed. And the propagation, the propaganda against Amirul Mumineen by Muawiyah started way before that. To a point that when Amirul Mumineen got martyred, people in Syria were asking this question, what was Ali doing in the masjid? It was not a sarcastic statement, but rather the propaganda was so strong that people were really wondering what Amirul Mumineen was doing in masjid, what Ali was doing in masjid. She brought Amirul Mumineen's name strategically, very strategically, that you think, if this is in your mind, that Amirul Mumineen, that Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam deserved to die, you're wrong. You killed him without any fault. Without having any fault, in the same way you killed his son as well. She started talking about the martyrdom of Amir al-Mumineen. She said the martyrdom of Ali occurred in one of the houses of Allah in the presence of a number of so-called Muslims. May they be destroyed, those who did not prevent oppressing him through his life until you took him up to you. He who had praiseworthy character, whose talent was famous and whose guidance was well known. Again, we keep the circumstances in mind, brothers and sisters. This is the hub of the enemy, the army of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, who had done anything and everything, from physical oppression to psychological oppression. But this is how the sabr is done, that you turn the tables. Regardless of how difficult the circumstances are, you stick with the truth, you keep moving forward, you don't stay stagnant, you don't stop. While facing all the difficulties, while carrying all the burden, you keep moving on towards the goal. She was picking up right where Lady Zainab had left. And she started talking about the character of Amir al-Mumineen. She said, "My Lord, you guided Amir al-Mumineen, Ali, in his childhood to Islam. You praised his character when he grew up. He was a constant well-wisher and concern of your religion and of your messenger until you took his soul." And then she started describing more traits of Amir al-Mumineen. Once she was done talking about Amir al-Mumineen, then she addressed to the Kufians. Very strategic. This is not venting. This is not complaining. This is using every opportunity, every circumstance that you are faced with in order to get to your goal. The goal was to keep the message of Imam Hussein alive, to expose batil, to expose batil, to expose the oppressor, to magnify and glorify martyrdom, to glorify the resistance, to glorify the righteousness and truthfulness, she addressed to the Kufians. She says, "Now, O Kufians, the cheats, the disloyal, the proud folk, indeed, we are the members of Ahlul Bayt. God has examined us with you and you with us, and it was a fair test. God has examined us with you and you with us." Just like God had examined Lady Fatima, the daughter of Imam Hussein, with and the Ahlul Bayt with the Kufians were tested. Are we being tested? Are we being tested with occultation? Absolutely. Is Imam being tested with occultation? Absolutely. Are we being tested by his representative? Absolutely. Is he being tested by the so-called followers? Absolutely. Sure enough, she started praising the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how they had manifested in their family. She started talking about what Kufians had done. She mentioned, "You tried to deny and refute us and considered it correct to fight us. You thought it was all right to rob and appropriate our property as we were non-Muslims. Yesterday you killed my grandfather. The blood of our youth is dripping from your daggers. All of these are due to your old enmity against us. After committing all these felonious crimes, your eyes have brightened and your hearts are overjoyed. Strange indeed is your slander against Allah and the conspired planning which you planned, while Allah is the best of the planners." These statements, again, letting Kufians know that you will not get a clean slate. And who is she addressing to? She's addressing to those who saw and did nothing, those who went against the war, against Imam Hussein, and those who planned all these things. But little that the enemies knew that it would be haq, it would be the truth that would, at the end of the day, come victorious. She then started cursing, sending the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these people by saying, "Woe unto you, do you know those people, your tribes, who are our bodies? How did your hearts incline to fight against us? How could your legs rush on us seeking war with us? By Allah, your hearts have become dark." And once, like we mentioned yesterday, once the heart becomes dark, you do not stop at any extreme. The extreme of which is going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet and His chosen representatives. She made sure that she glorifies the situation. Yes, we gave martyrs. Yes, we are prisoners. But at the same time, it is us who are victorious. How does she praise? She says, "This is a divine excellence which will be given to whoever Allah wishes. And Allah is the Lord of the greatest graces. The one whom Allah does not grant light, for him there will be no light. عزو من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير." He grants respect to who he wants, and he humiliates to who he wants. The same day,
First, it was the sister of Imam Hussein. Then it was a daughter of Imam Hussein. Then Umm Kulthum also came and she started giving the sermon and reminding people that how wretched they are and how pure bloodline do the Ahlbayt follow. And this is after Lady Umm Kulthum was done with her sermon, Imam Sajjad started introducing himself. In one of the most eloquent ways, again, trying to wake people up, trying to turn the political tables. Yes, it was not so that people start feeling pity for them. It was not so that people can start crying that what happened with Imam Hussein. That was not the purpose. Imam Sajjad has made it very clear. He starts off by saying, "Oh people, one who knows me has known. As for those who did not recognize me, I'm introducing myself. I am Ali, son of Hussein, son of Ali Abi Talib. I am the son of the one who has been slaughtered by the river Euphrates. Though he never killed any innocent person, nor he seized any heritage. I'm the son of the one whose honorable ladies and family have been disrespected, whose wealth and bounty has been plundered, whose children have been arrested. I'm the son of the one who was caught and killed, and this is enough for me to be proud of." This is Imam Sajjad. This is how he introduces himself, that even though we were plundered, even though we were looted, even though we were martyred, even though we are taken as captives, but this is enough for us to be proud of. When you are standing on the righteousness, when you are standing for the truth, he laid it out very clearly for the people to follow him till Yawm al-Qiyamah. He said, "Oh people, I administer you oath of Allah. Do you know that you wrote letter to my father and then cheated him? You gave your word to him and extended allegiance to him. Then you left him and prepared yourself to kill him. You insulted his family and you're not from his nation. Imam Sajjad, when got to this point, people started crying, people started wailing. People started feeling remorseful and regretful. Was that the goal? We hear from Imam Sajjad. Imam continues when he sees people crying, "May Allah have mercy on him who accepts my admonitions and remembers my advice regarding the command of Allah about his prophet and his household, since he is a good patron for us. He gave them little taste of those who would heed to his advice. Everybody responded, "Oh, son of prophet, we listen to you, we obey you, we are the guardian of your words." While they're crying, after, what does Imam respond to them? They are saying that, "Oh, son of holy prophet, we will listen to you, we are your guardians, we are prepared to carry out your commands." Because Imam had given the sermon, Imam had started the sermon, and sermon was so powerful that it shook them to their very core of their existence. Imam said, "Alas, alas," when they said that we will be there for you, Imam responded and giving us very clear guidelines. Just the tears, just the claims would not be sufficient for us to be able to be counted as the Nasireen of Imam. Imam says, "Alas, alas, oh disloyal conspirers. Is there any excuse which is not between you and your passions? Do you want to do with me what you did with my father? No, by Allah. No, because these wounds have not yet healed. It was only yesterday when my father, along with his household, were martyred. I am unable to forget the calamity of missing the Holy Prophet and the calamity of losing my father and his children. Its pain is in my mouth and its bitterness is choking me. His sorrow is squeezing my chest. He laid it out very clearly that it's not only going to be just feeling bad for us. Don't feel bad for us, because Imam Sajjad said that he was proud of what had happened to him. That's why Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha, in the courtyard of one of the most corrupted and cruel rulers, she said, when he said that, how did you find this killing? How did you find that Allah killed your brother? She said, Ma raitu illa jamila. I did not see anything but beauty. She meant every word of it. So did Imam Sajjad. This is up until Kufa. This is up until Imam Sajjad gave his sermon to the people of Kufa. And now, while running over the streets of Kufa, brazing through the streets of Kufa, conquering the surrounding of the fort of Ibn Ziyad, Ahlul Bayt enters the courtyard of Ubaydillah Ibn Ziyad to conquer one of the fronts of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. This conquest, victory was given. That victory was inevitable. There had to be a major cost. There had to be a major cost that had to be given in order to acquire this victory. We are numbed. We are numbed. We have been immune, that it is easy for the likes of me to say, Ahlul Bayt entered the courtyard of Ubaydillah ibn Ziyad. It is much easier for us to listen that Lady Zainab, Salamullah Alayha, the daughter of Fatima and Ali, entered the courtyard of Ubaydillah ibn Ziyad. The first thing that he addressed, he said, who is she? Allah increases his curse on Ubaydillah ibn Ziyad and Umayyah till Yawm al-Qiyamah. How dare he address our honorable lady as who is she? He was told she's Zainab, daughter of Ali. psychological wounds are really hard to heal. And Umayyad al-Nasir knew that. He knew that the psychological wounds that I'll inflict on them would last long. He starts off by saying, "Praise to Allah who disgraced you and failed you in your efforts just for us to listen and say that Ubayd ibn Ziyad, that najis person, was speaking, was communicating with Lady Zainab Salamullah alayha." He asked, "What did Allah do to your brother and your family?" To which Lady Zainab responded, "Nothing but good. They, Hussein and his friends, were a group of whom Allah has destined martyrdom. They rushed towards their place of slaughter. Verily, soon Allah will gather you and them. Then you will be interrogated harshly. Then you will see who wins. May your mother mourn for you, O son of Marjana." This is a tie that has been written in the history because Lady Zainab Salamullah alayha showed unprecedented courage and addressed to him by his mother, "O Ibn Marjana." He became so furious that he wanted to kill Lady Zainab Salamullah alayha. This is when one of the companions of one of the friends of Ibn Ziyad told him that she's a woman, you cannot do that. They were willing to cross all the boundaries. He said, then he turned his attention towards Imam Sajjad, told him that, "Who are you?" He was told he's Ali ibn Hussein. He said, "Didn't Allah kill Ali ibn Hussein?" reminding Ahlul Bayt of the torture and pain that was inflicted on them. May Allah hasten the reappearance of Imam so this holy blood can be avenged. I ask Allah to help us pass through the test of occultation, how we are being tested and how our Imam is being tested through us. He will certainly pass the test. I ask Allah to help us pass this test. May Allah prolong the life of Imam Khamenei and all the revered scholars, especially Sayyid Ali Sistani. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.